it's funny because it's weird how other people who don't know you, even with the James example, James as in that works with Josh, not James Eisenhower that's here with us in the room, how you like perceive people initially, right? So like with Josh Casper in college, like I also looked at him as like a, I don't know, like a rare white swan that like I had to be friends with.
Wait, you know, swans are mostly white, right?
All right. A rare, that's a great point. A rare pink swan.
Okay. See, that would be rare.
Yeah. I'm okay.
Or
with
a
that.
Black swan.
Oh,
that's
ooh.
Fair. I think that might actually happen.
Yeah, it does. But I think it's rare. Pink swans. I mean, if you painted a white swan pink, I guess it would be pink. The
or if all its feathers fell out, I guess.
Yeah. I hate where this is going. In all seriousness, though, like
Casper's like a swan with no feathers. That's what he's like.
It's what everybody wants to see.
Disgusting looking,
right?
But like you can't stop looking at it. Like, yeah, that's what
it is. I'll stop you right there. Okay. When I saw the swan that was Josh Casper, I was like, I have to be friends with you. And so, you know, you may say I was intimidated, but like I definitely immediately knew like we have to be friends. And so in the intent, like in the, I guess almost in the way that I approached James, realizing like this guy's clearly got something to bring to the table, I saw that in you too, Josh, man. So you can downplay yourself as much as you want. Like I was impressed. I wanted to be on that friend train.
You were the, I'm not going to say a tool. The tool, I don't mean a tool like in a bad way, but like you were.
How else can you mean that?
As in like you had connections that I could not get.
Oh, okay. As like, in like.
When we were doing our like Invisible Children social justice movement thing.
Yeah.
And you had like I know, I don't know, these people who could help reserve a building for me or a room, or you had an outlet for me to kind of, it sounded like the quiet introverted guy, but like. I wanted to do stuff, but I didn't have the means to do it where, you know, I knew people who did, which was helpful. So that's kind of like where we use each other in a way to sort of do something good. If that makes sense.
The tool and the featherless swan.
Yes.
This is the self-esteem building featherless swan podcast right here.
Yeah. I really wish James, like if you would just take maybe an hour and basically illustrate the cover of this episode, because I think you just captured it right there.
Wild. Yeah.
I just thought I would have to Google featherless swan, and then I really did not want to do that.
No.
So I was like,
let's not go there. It would
be very terrible.
Yeah, no. That sounds tragic. Our second attempt at an intro.
Hopefully Brad won't mess this one up.
Brad,
he's already doing better by not
us?
Speaking first.
Right, by not talking. I screw it up by talking.
Oh yeah. Man, but Brad stopped recording his side of it. We kept recording. We really wish we could bring it to y'all because it was basically just me having a really intense laugh attack for about a minute and a half.
It was
my stomach hurt afterwards.
It was intro gold that Brad destroyed.
He said, do it again. He's like a really intense director, producer, and he's right over our shoulders. He's like, take it again. I need another take. Another take.
Right.
So this is it. This is our final take. And right now I'm only pleasantly pleased with it, which I was hoping to be ecstatic like I was in our last take.
So. I mean, it's definitely the beginning of the episode.
This is the beginning. This is where y'all immediately start hitting the, like, 15 seconds forward, 15 seconds forward, 15 seconds forward. Where's the interview? That's what I do when I'm passing people's ads, when I'm listening to podcasts. We don't have any advertisers, so I feel really comfortable saying that.
Right. Lucky I for just y'all, skip we don't them. Have any advertisers.
I know. Right now, Brad would be like, cut it out. Cut it out. But no, he's just sipping his wine in a paper cup in a hotel, living that life. Brad's wearing a Nike shirt right now that says Red Sox, but the first time I looked at it, I saw the Nike check and I thought it said Reebok because we only see half of Brad. And I thought to myself, that's convoluted. Why does this shirt say that?
That would be a great shirt.
But then my mind went to Twitter for the past couple of days. Nike just came out with this new campaign that's getting a whole lot of fuss. Has Colin Kaepernick is basically the face child of their, what is it?
The face child.
He's the face child of their what year?
I have never heard people say the face 30th. Child. What is that?
It's the 30th.
30th. That's what I thought.
I don't know if y'all saw, but right before we started recording, I noticed that, you know, our president has now chimed in, and of course he is not happy.
Well, which makes total sense because he's saying whatever he needs to keep his base happy, and his base is definitely burning their Nike shoes while they're still wearing them.
There are people burning their Nike shoes, which is just crazy. Those are expensive, people. Come on.
Speaking of people who burn their own shoes while they're wearing them, Josh might have done that before, right?
What? Is that the transition into our interview with Josh Kasper?
My thought was, as we were talking more than we probably need to, because we had a great conversation with him that you know, we talked for a while. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to force something.
Dude, you
I am
did.
Not going to make
you
this smooth.
You did just force that transition. I didn't even get to talk about my kid or anything. We're just going to dive into our
burning
interview
shoes,
with
yeah. Josh Kasper.
Oh, man. Y'all, we have a really good interview with Josh Kasper, and we want to just jump ahead. And
at least I do.
James is ready. I think Brad's ready as well. So we're going to let y'all listen to this interview with Josh Kasper, and we're going to come back on at the end of it and talk a little bit about it. So we'll see y'all in a little bit.
I was just the physical embodiment of the 15-second skip.
All right. Y'all enjoy Josh Kasper. So it's been a year. It's been a year since we've talked on mic, Josh. A lot has changed, and I would think for the better for what you're doing in Hattiesburg. And listeners, I want to stop you right now. If you haven't heard the first episode with Josh Kasper, go ahead and pause this and listen to that, and then come back and listen to round two, because we really got deep into Josh's travels to Portland, his experience up there, what moved him to Mississippi, and then what opportunity he saw in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, of all places, coming from a food mecca like Portland, Oregon, and how he brought his skills, his mad skills. Let's throw it out there. After studying, which he's blushing right now. Obviously, he would never say this, but I can say it. He brought a lot of study, newer foods, experience with that down to Hattiesburg, and really felt the pressure, maybe from himself, maybe from other people, to bring something new and unique to a town that may not experience a lot of new and unique flavors outside of your classic Mexican restaurant, your Chinese restaurant, and then American food and Southern food. And so since we last talked with Josh, y'all have expanded, right? You're in a new building. You're in a completely new restaurant. Like, yeah. talk to us a little bit about that.
People were really confused at first. They thought we were just adding another restaurant kind of to our repertoire, which was kind of hard to explain because we moved literally like maybe 300 feet away from where we used to be.
It's very accurate. I measured it earlier today. It is 300 feet.
When we were moving from restaurant to restaurant, we were just bringing stuff out of the kitchen and walking to the new kitchen and putting it in there. That's how close we were, which we're super lucky to have. If you listen to the last episode, you know, I was talking about our kitchen and how we needed more and that we were working on it, but I couldn't really say at the time, but we had basically just kind of signed up to open a new restaurant, which was kind of terrifying.
And yeah, it would scare me. I would be Googling, how do I create a new restaurant? Like, I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, you don't. I mean, you just, it's more like we have to open, like, at this time. And that's pretty much all we worked for. Was like, okay, this is our last day at this old restaurant. And then we have to be open or else we can't pay our bills or, you know, it's like a survival thing all of a sudden. It's like, we have to be open and making money by this date or else this happens or this happens. So it was, that's like the money part's really scary. And unfortunately it's like the realistic part of the business is, you know, you're a business and you're in sales,
right?
Which is like, you know, you're in sales too in a different way, but like,
shh, don't tell anybody.
Well, you know, you're a drug dealer, but in a nicer way, but
pharmaceuticals, FDA approved. I am a drug dealer.
It's we had a guy downtown who owned the building and was interested in expanding for us. You know, he's our landlord, and was like, you know, I'm willing to do this for you. How about it? And we're like, yeah, hell yeah! Like,
so let me stop you there. So y'all did not buy this property. You're no. still renting the property.
Yeah.
Even though it's a new space.
Yeah. I mean, we had to get out. Like, our lease was coming to an end. We had to get out of there. And yeah. we were looking for spaces in that whole time. Like, where can we go? That's not too far away from downtown. You know, do we want to go on the other side of the tracks? You know, just to keep the trains from blocking us so much. And I was like, I don't know. All those things felt like, this is our space. Like, this people yeah. know us where we are. Like, we're an anchor for downtown, I think.
Right.
And so this kind of came at the right moment. It was just like a rectangular building. There's nothing in it but just a bunch of dead files from a law office downtown.
Yeah, and you're talking about there were actually just dead people holding files yeah. in this rectangular building.
It smelled awful. There's bones everywhere.
Yeah.
No, but I walked in and, you know, they had redone the ceiling in this building, and the ceiling was the first thing I was like, okay, I can make this work. Like, we can turn this into a restaurant. So over the next few months, we had meetings and came up with floor plans and talked to a restaurant equipment guy. And I'm just like, yeah, I would like this and that. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I was like, I've worked in restaurants before, and this is what we've had. But I don't know how to build a kitchen that, like, works optimally. You know what I'm saying? Like, the stove goes here, the oven goes here, like the pass is here. So I was just going from kitchens that I've worked in. So there was a point where I was like, all right, this is it, right? And I'm like, I guess so. You know, the whole point, I'm just like, I'm about 60% like feeling good, like this is the way it needs to be. The other 40% was just like screaming in my head, like, oh my god, like, what are you doing? But I knew, you know, the kitchen that we were in, I was like, whatever, anything is better than what we're in now. So That's kind of where we are now. And
so from a personality standpoint, is it easy for you to make final decisions, or is that something that comes hard to you? Because there's a big finality, right, with saying, this is where the stove's going.
Yeah.
This is what we want for our layout for the kitchen that we're going to have forever.
Yeah, there was a day where, you know, the developer came over and was like, all right, I need you to come over here and make sure this is where you want everything. And I was like, oh God. I was like, I can't do this. But I was like, yep, that looks good. That looks good. All right, I got to go back and make some scrambled eggs. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like that. And then that's how it worked. So, you know, they were all these dudes just putting trust in me. And I was like, I mean, that's how you, like, that's just like how you become an adult. It's like you just fake it until you're like, well, this, thank God that worked out. You know?
Right.
And if it doesn't, then whatever, we'll figure it out. But it worked out. I mean, maybe there's some things that I would change now, but for the most part, everything is really good. We're settled in, and it's working. So,
I was listening to an episode of Radio Lab or one of those, and it was funny. This guy was saying that he was cooking something. I don't remember what all it was that he said, but the three things he said all sounded gross and sounded worse together. But they were, he was talking about the whatever star ratings that like really fancy restaurants get, and like the guy coming to like test it and whatever, and they were potentially going to go up to 3 stars from this guy eating it. And I was like, that's the weird thing. Like, I would never order what he just said. I don't think either of those three things sounded like food.
No, that's the weird part is like you have a certain population that eats, I'd say really well, where they go to like really nice restaurants and they want to be pushed. They want to know, you know, like where that food comes from, but they just want to eat something that's different. And I feel like they look at it as like a, almost like a concert or like a special presentation of like, I have this and it may not even be on the menu next week or whatever it is. It's like under my belt and I have this experience. I'm going to pay a lot of money for it. So I don't know. Like that's like when I go out to eat, I'm going to places where I'm challenged and I don't necessarily know what a menu item is, but I also have like a different sort of mindset for where I need to go. Whereas like, well, if I go eat in New Orleans or Nashville or Atlanta, I'm taking what I ate there and I'm going to bring it back to Mississippi.
Right.
And hopefully, and I know there are people here that want that. And it's definitely not part of the larger population, but I do know that's part of my job is to focus on what we've been doing, but also dream for future stuff. So, right.
Speaking of future stuff, if for some reason, whatever it might be, that you leave the depot or they need to change the name of it and you're going to open your own place or change the name of the depot, can it please be the Featherless Swan?
Yes. Damn, that's brilliant.
I would absolutely go eat at the Featherless Swan.
I love that. Actually, I've already thought about this. And not in that capacity.
I have no idea what the Featherless Swan would serve.
Y'all heard it here. Josh is leaving the depot. Uh-oh. Josh is leaving the depot
to open the Featherless Swan.
Yes. Super fine dining in Petal, Mississippi. Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, that's where David goes to Lowe's at. Yeah.
That's where I shop.
I hope
also,
you didn't hear that, Toby Barker. I promise I don't shop in Petal.
Make Petal great again. That's what I always say.
Hell yeah. So we're gonna shift gears here. We're gonna get a little crazy. It's gonna get a little dark.
I have a cold beer. I'm ready.
Have a cold beer. So we just took a moment for Josh and I to get a cold beer and for James to just kind of hold down the fort and sip on his big gulp. What? Where'd you go? What's that from?
That was a big gulp.
It's from Checkers.
I'm so glad.
I love Checkers.
I'm so glad it's from Checkers. That's what I thought, but I didn't want to jump the gun.
Checkers
rallies.
Is...
Yeah, your rallies.
You lose a year with every bite, but it is worth it.
Because as somebody who works with the geriatric community, I can tell you right now, it's okay to lose those years.
I will say, though, the problem with Checkers is I can't just go once because they give you the receipt that's, you know, do the survey on the back and you buy a drink and you get a free sandwich, whatever it is. And ooh. I did that the first time and I went and I was like, I have the survey thing. I want the spicy chicken. She was like, you know, you can get any sandwich, right? I was like, yeah, I want the spicy chicken. She was like, I'm making that a double spicy chicken.
Oh, my queen.
And dude, I'm so glad she took care of you.
I did basically like 2 weeks of at least once a day just going and buying a drink and getting a double spicy chicken.
God.
I lost so much weight. I lost a lot of my life.
Oh, life.
But my
not
goodness.
Weight,
yeah, I was like, okay. I don't know if that's how that works.
It was delightful. So I have a receipt in my car. That means I'm going back tomorrow.
So I'm going to shotgun some questions at Josh Casper.
Let's go.
It's hard for me to stay focused right now, mainly because I love the thought of James just pulling up to Checkers every single day.
And hey, James, the usual?
Yeah.
You got it. Points his finger. Yeah.
The employees looking at you and just being like, You want that double decker spicy chicken sandwich? You know
I do. I don't even order. I just roll up to the window
and just nod your head. Like, yep, that's it.
Hand them the exact amount of change in a Ziploc bag.
Hey Jerry, get the James special going. Yeah. Stat. Oh man. All right. So, what is your guilty pleasure food of choice?
Easily, it's gotta be like Buffalo Wild Wings. Dude, which is not like a stretch, but like, God, what,
tell me if it's tell, like, tell us what you're ordering. All right, so you roll into Buffalo Wild Wings.
They say, "Hey, Mr. Casper, it's nice to see you again." The usual. It's probably like 16 to 20 wings, bone in, of course.
Okay,
that boneless.
Seriously, get that out of here.
Get that out of here. I'm not a huge spicy fan, so I get a medium, classic medium. Cooked extra well done, so super crispy. And
ranch or blue cheese?
I don't do blue cheese. I do ranch. Me too. When I feel like my heart's not gonna explode. You know what I mean? Like if I had a good week where I've been eating like grilled chicken, like I'll eat. I'll get a ranch every now and then just for the French fries though. I don't put anything on the wings.
Ooh.
But if I'm feeling like I've worked really hard and I need to like love myself and eat something, I will go get some wings and like buy a movie on Amazon, probably like an Avengers movie.
Okay.
Something super mindless, but like entertaining and good.
Yeah.
And I will just sit down, dim the lights, get like a couple wet naps. I'm drinking water. I'm not drinking beer. I'm not a monster. I know my limits. And I will just...
Can you just say...
I would just destroy them.
Yeah. You've earned this.
You've earned this. Yeah. And like you eat it and you don't feel guilty. Just the next morning, like take it easy on yourself. But I'd say like... I mean, that goes with like my last meal, which I might ask y'all. Like that's probably my last meal. It's just straight up buffalo wings and like really good French fries.
God, they are delicious, man.
It's just... I don't know. I mean, it used to be like pot roast or something like for my mom, but my last meal now is for sure chicken wings. Like, what's your last meal? You're dying tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
By the way, this is a question that chefs like to ask each other too, because it's generally something very simple and something from your childhood, but.
I love that. That's a tough call. Does anything come to mind for you, James, as I think about it?
Double spicy chicken from Checkers.
As I'm eating it, it feels like it's my last meal. there was right. Once when I had a coupon for a foot-long chili cheese coney from Sonic. Buy one, get one. And Lacey May had to work late. And I wasn't just going to get one. So I got them both and sat there and ate both of them. I ate 2 feet of chili cheese hot dog. And they came by several times and asked me if I was okay. that's a wonderful moment when you're eating something that strangers come over and check on you.
Are you okay?
During it?
That's true.
Because you can't be all right.
This is not
right
normal,
now.
But are you okay?
I would say my last meal, I don't know what all it would be. It would have to contain my mom's potato salad, though.
Nice.
It is delightful. I can eat way too much of that. Literally every time I've eaten it, I've gotten the hiccups. I've never once chewed,
shoveling,
chewed enough.
Not breathing, chewing.
I have never chewed enough when eating that food. Never once.
Yeah, I like the family reference because I'm also going to kind of my childhood. My brother and I spent a lot of time with my grandpa and my grandma on their farm. But one of the things that my grandpa would do is he would smoke brisket, and he would smoke it for hours and hours and hours. And so barbecue, and to our listeners that are in other regions of the world, I'm not talking about hot dogs and burgers. I'm talking about like straight up barbecue. Has always been really important to me. It's so important to me. I think I would have to go with some sort of Texas style brisket, maybe a baked macaroni and cheese, and then some delicious baked beans as well.
Classic.
Does that sound good? Because
sounds great. It sounds.
I'm salivating currently.
I'm like, oh, that sounds good.
I love like slow cooked brisket.
It's probably, if it's done right,
one of my favorites.
It's amazing. But yeah. So many times, man.
So I said potato salad, and I'm not sure what with it. And that's because every time it's served, I put other things on the plate so people don't think I'm insane with just a massive pile of it. You're on that my guy. Plate. I am.
Yeah.
So the last time we talked, Josh, we talked a little bit about, you know, spirituality and what that looks like for you. And we are a podcast that really dives into, you know, faith and the things that we can't see. I think some of us are trying desperately to hold on to some sort of religion or some sort of Christianity, even if it looks a little bit different from what we were brought up with. How is faith factored into this transition a year later into a new restaurant with your friends, your community, the intense stress of that world, trying not to be a alcoholic working in a kitchen, which may sound, I'm not trying to make light of that, but like, obviously
no, super easy
you drink, you drink a lot. If you work in the restaurant world, I know that to be a truth, but yeah. So how is that, has that gone to the back burner, or is it still in your mind? Do you have time to think about it? You're in your 30s right now, which a lot of people put a lot of weight on the 30s, right? To kind of like make a name for yourself or figure out your career, like what am I doing? And so that can take a lot of our energy.
Yeah, I mean, gosh. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. It's one of those things you have to put faith in other people. Otherwise you're gonna drown. So I of course still pray to God, even though, as you know, I have no idea whether or not that's going anywhere or if right. It's helpful. To me, it's like I have faith in other people. And sometimes I feel like I'm kind of the linchpin of that. And if I start to lose it, then they're going to lose it too. So some days I feel very strong about what I'm doing, what I believe in. Other days I don't think there's anything unusual for most people, but it's one of those things like you just have to work really hard at it. Like that's the only thing that makes it work, is like we were talking about earlier, like saying like you praying for somebody. And it's like, that's the sentiment I understand, but unless the person is like flesh and blood is there pouring that out into something, I don't see that. I don't know. That's the only way it works in my brain, is being very physical, like being very physically there, mentally there, and giving it your whole heart. That's the only way to do it. Like with everything in my head, is we can half-ass it and it'll work, but it's not going to work the way I want it to work. So this whole year has been severely challenging as far as that whole spirituality goes, because I just haven't been able to slow down enough to think about it. I've been thinking about a lot the past few days, actually. Like it's been hard seeing Christians do things, and I'm just been very distant from it. And I'm safe to say I've been distant from that for a while now, but I find myself really missing the story of like Jesus and the whole like New Testament kind of red letter Christianity, as far as like, this is what Jesus did. And, I miss that a lot in my life, as far as like that faith and me believing in that story and what happened and what that means for us, as far as like faith and grace and things like that. But on a daily basis, I use those things when I work. You know, it's all about grace. It's like somebody drops a plate, it's like, it's not the end of the world. You know what? Like I might lose my temper, and luckily they have grace for me too. So that's how this works, is it's reciprocal, or it should be. I feel like in a healthy community, grace is reciprocal, and it's never just one person doing all the forgiving, doing all the preaching. It's everybody really messing up and also being like, we all forgive each other. We all have our days where we're stressed out and we say things we don't mean. And I kind of feel like that's been the journey for us, is like I was also saying earlier, like we don't get to stress out on the same day. Like we can't do that, or else it's not going to work. It's like today I'm going to have something stressful and I'm going to worry about it, but you have to calm me down a little bit. And especially between, like, you know, the managers and the owner and I, and being like, this is what I need to see, and not completely attacking them if they mess up. And to me, that's like one of the biggest forms of faith, is like, just, I trust you to do your job and I trust you to do it correctly. And if not, then it's still not the end of the world. But, you know, as far as like faith and God and things go like that, I'm still really craving a belief again. And it's still really tough for me. And I'm going to kind of expand to something outside restaurants, but it's tough for me to see so many people doing it differently. And no one really, I don't know, has the right way. And I guess that's what it's all about. But some people do like awful things. I'm like, y'all get y'all together and then I'll come back. It's the way my brain has been working lately. It's like, y'all need to get this figured out. And when I come home, this all better be cleaned up. Like, that's how I see spirituality in my head now. And like, I can't jump back into it until I feel like it's in a place where, and it's never going to be in that place, but I feel like that's where I am.
Yeah. So it's interesting how it seems like grace has been a staple in your kitchen and in your relationships as y'all are building towards something and working towards a common goal, to be like, I've got to check my intense emotions at the door at times and show these people like my version of unconditional love as much as I can and try my best not to lose that.
Yeah. I mean, being in the South, I have coworkers who are Christians, and I realize the things that I come out of my mouth are not always the most pleasant thing they hear, but I do believe I'm pretty fair to them for the most part and how I treat people. And we're not a Christian organization. We're a restaurant. And, you know, maybe people come and they have their beliefs, but, you know, I feel like I pulled some of the best parts of my personality out of Christianity from being a younger person raised in church. And just in general, my personality is take it easy, you know, like take it easy on people. And, you know, it, at the end of the day, it's just food. And some days I will get mad, mostly at myself for things. But, you know, we have the opportunity to give so much to the community. And I don't want to be one of those places that has like Christian music playing in the background, which I always think is a really weird thing for the South to have.
Yeah.
Like anywhere you go, it's like there's Christian music playing. I'm like, and you can tell within 10 seconds, it's a Christian song. And
I will only eat Chick-fil-A if I can hear a like off version of a Chris Tomlin song.
Oh yeah.
That's done by an elevator music band. So
yeah,
that's you guys don't have to agree with that. That's just my stance.
It's like my chiropractor or just going to the grocery store and they're playing like old, like Ray Bolts type stuff. And I'm like, God, this is crazy. Like this isn't anywhere else, but like, I'd say, in the Bible Belt or the Sweet Tea Belt, but like, is it weird that a grocery store play Christian music? Like now? I don't know. I shouldn't care. But I do.
I think it's a little bizarre that a grocery store would. Yeah, Chick-fil-A doesn't shock me at all. But
I think everybody knows
Cookout
that.
Doesn't.
Cookout does it?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just glad we have a cookout.
Yeah, it's because
we don't go there enough. We need to go there more.
What is it? Soda you like? What is it? Soda?
The Cheerwine.
Cheerwine.
Oh, yeah. Cheerwine. That North Carolina Cheerwine.
Because personally, for me, I look at you two and what y'all do with this podcast, and just in general being, you know, more plugged into the ecclesia and the church community. And I probably haven't been in over a year and a half or 2 years. It's mostly, I feel like it feels kind of unfair for me to be there sometimes. Like I'm singing these songs or I'm listening to Mike preach and I'm like, I really don't know if I believe any of this anymore. Or is that like a general, I mean, and you're in the band, so you're singing these songs too. So like, do you believe what's coming out of your mouth?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Or do you just like to sing and play?
Yeah, I think it's only fair for me to be honest if I'm asking you hard questions. I think one of the neat things about Ecclesia is that from week to week, the people in that room may believe it or may be struggling with it. I could speak for myself that depending on the week, you know, my faith may be there or it may not be there. And it's tough because we're constantly, if you're in pursuit of knowledge, which I think it's fair for the three of us to say that we're pretty serious about trying to learn things, even if we think we know it, like we're still trying to like finesse it or figure it out. And, you know, faith, religion, God, the God story, the Bible, like I can't get it out of me, you know? And it's, I'll find myself listening to like atheists and, you know, very, very quote unquote smart people and realizing like, wow, I value like high intelligence, no question. And going down those rabbit holes can be very difficult at times because I'll hear things that will challenge what beliefs I still have. And then again, I'll have to think through it and then try to look inside of me and find some sort of Holy Spirit or some sort of, you know, fingerprint of God that's part of it. That's it, that's in me and hope for it. And then I find myself learning more and more about the natural world, which science has never been my forte, but as I get older, the more and more I find it just straight up fascinating. Like listening to this book on genetics right now. And like the more I learn about how long it's taken us to realize that some genes turn off and some don't, you know, like it's been 70 years. The more I see this intelligent design, it's just hard. It's hard for me to square that there isn't this architect, you know? And what's cool about like our church community is that people are not in the same place, you know? Right. It's okay, you know? And I hope for our listeners that if they're in a spot where they're like, I don't know if I believe this, that they know that they're not alone and that like there's a lot of people trying to figure it out. And if you need to take, and I don't know if you need to take 2 weeks off or a year off and like explore some thoughts or ideas or different whatever, to help you kind of find clarity in that, if God is real and if the Holy Spirit is real, everything in my being says they're totally fine with it. You know?
Yeah.
Like I don't think they have an issue with that at all.
I think so much of either going to church on Sundays is, I think most people would agree, is like the community of seeing people, you know, once a week or maybe a few times a week. But on Sundays, it's like we're here worshiping together, or we're here, you know, lifting up for somebody who's sick or who needs a prayer. And I think some part of me, if I'm being honest, is like afraid of being too vulnerable in that setting again, whereas like I don't want people to see my all the time, or you know, I feel like I've become a strong enough person to sort of absorb everything, which is not true. But it's like because you go to some place on a Sunday, you're now liable to like do things with this group of people. They rely on you now, to look after their kids or do help with a potluck or, you know, be involved is really the phrase. Like, they want you to be involved in the community. And for me, I was like, and I'm still trying to find the energy, but like on Sundays, I'm just exhausted. Like, cause I have to work a lot of Sundays now. And to me, it's like, I'm busting my ass from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then I have to go to church and then like maybe have to do something with them or, you know, volunteer to do something. I'm like, physically, man, I'm sorry. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm an introvert. Yeah. So it's hard for me to like go from this one intense community to another one who still needs me. And it's not their fault. Like, I want to be available. I want to do those things. But, you know, and I know like the way it works is it's more of a meeting. Like, Sunday is more of a meeting. Like, you don't have to be there to be a part of the community. But I feel like I need to be there. And I feel like if it is based off scripture, and if you guys are, you know, reading the Bible, I still have a very, you know, like, I don't know if I deserve to be here. And this is someone from, you know, was raised Southern Baptist and was in church until I was 20. So that's a huge foundation for me. But now I'm like, I don't feel like I deserve to be here. Like, I'm not giving my all to this church, but I am giving my all in a different way where I'm cussing a lot and I'm cooking food and I'm eating and the other weird parts that go along with that. And I see people, you know, from the church communities that come in, and I love seeing them meet there and talk and chat. And, you know, we have a men's group that comes in every Friday, and they just stress me out because they come in right when we open and they all order sandwiches. And I'm just like trying to get things going, but you know, they do that every Friday, and whether or not I agree with them, it's nice to see like the community of it and that they feel safe doing that where we are.
Yeah.
So some parts of me feel like I'm doing my part, but I know that just my job is giving people a good place to eat and to be with one another and to, you know, just be a part of the, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but the beloved, I guess, is the what I'm trying to say, with a capital B. the beloved, the greater sort of circle of humanity that really loves each other and wants to be there for each other. I just haven't quite figured out the balance of work and maybe worship. So I think that's sort of where I am now is, I have my own forms of worship where it's like I get to feed people and give them that place. But I know that's not really fulfilling all the time. And I, like I said earlier, like I still crave the Jesus story, and or not just the Jesus story, but just spirituality in general of,
right,
of a greater thing, of a higher design. So, you know.
It seems to me like the way you've figured out how to move through the restaurant world is the same way to healthily move through the church world. Where, right, I mean, yeah, originally you were saying with designing stuff at the depot, like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I got to figure it out as I go along. And it's not about, you know, don't back off of it. Just get in there, and even if you don't know what you're doing right away, you don't know what you believe right now, you get in there and figure it out as you go and figure out what works, what doesn't. And, you know, the relationship with the crew and everything being grace of, yeah, y'all are going to mess up, I'm going to mess up, we're not going to know what we're doing, just having grace for each other. And I mean, that's essentially what the church experience needs to be, is, you know, accepting that you've got to figure it out as you go, because you're not going to know it all originally. No one does. And understand that everybody else is on that journey too, you know. So it seems like you have a lot of it figured out. It's just translating the restaurant world and your interactions there into some of the church world. And I mean, just because we call a certain meeting church doesn't make it more church than other places. And so, I mean, the depot can be church.
Well, Josh, man, I appreciate your time today. I think we've gone now for 3 hours, listeners. I hope you've like enjoyed it.
Not that long.
It hasn't been that long.
It's been 2,915 bars.
Well, that's
wow.
Yeah, count that, people. Count that. So if you're interested in checking out the Depot or Josh also writes. Are you still writing, by the way? Last question.
Yeah, still not like, very much. I did post something today.
Well, see, there you go.
But yeah, just look up the pseudonym, the Featherless Swan.
Just Google
Featherless Swan, enter. No, so you're at Southern Belly.
Southern Belly. Well, actually, I bought a domain. Whoa.
Shut your mouth.
Yep.
So this is what happens when you're moving up in this world.
Big old $15 a year.
Heck yeah, dude.
No, it's southernbelly.org.
All right, so southernbelly.org.
Trying to trim the fat a little bit there.
It's a lot better than one of those nasty .net.
Dude, those cheap
.angelfire.com.
Yeah. So check out southernbelly.org, and then after that, check out everythingisokay.net for all of your needs. That's still our URL. That's awesome. No, but if you're in Southern Mississippi, or shoot, man, I don't care where you are. If you're traveling through Hattiesburg, go to downtown Hattiesburg. Check out the Depot Bistro. It's on Bushman Street.
Where's the Depot? We're Depot Kitchen and Market now.
Okay, excuse me.
Sorry.
Ooh. All right, Depot Kitchen and Market.
Yeah, we're Depot Kitchen and Market. Yeah.
These times, they are changing.
Straight up.
Yeah. Lay hands on Josh. pray for his soul after everything he shared today. I mean, he's not going to church, people. What's happening to him?
Hell in a handbasket.
What is happening? Actually, he's bringing a little church to. The Depot, which I love.
I mean, the language of Ecclesia is very restaurant-esque, in that we're always trying to figure out how to make room at the table. Everybody's welcome at the table. There's a lot of table talk.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, like, they all love to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Really, if food is involved, they're pretty excited.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
That's a very church thing to do, is eat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We all know it's the quickest way to somebody's heart.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It's through the chest.
I'm kidding. Actually, just go to the Depot and
with a nice pick.
And
David was trying to carry on.
Order something delicious.
Sure, we're all a little tipsy here. It's fine.
Yeah. And as a person who's had several of those items on that menu, y'all will not be disappointed. I do love the Korean barbecue a whole lot. I still love, and this may be offensive, but I still love your tomato basil soup, man.
It's just very offensive.
It's such a staple.
I am triggered right now.
This might be offensive, but I like something you make.
I'm super triggered.
It's so good.
No. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
How would that be offensive?
When are you? It's old. Like, it's something they've had from the beginning. I don't know if it's Josh's recipe or not.
I've changed a little bit.
You changed a little bit. Yeah. When are y'all going to bring some pho to the table? If I can use some of my new language.
We're doing ramen this week, Thursday.
I know
night.
It's on Thursday. I have it in my phone.
Good.
That's how serious I am about ramen night.
Crushed. Yeah, but it'll be fine. I need to eat some more pho because people are very particular about it and have a lot of opinions.
I have zero opinions about it except for I want to try it. I don't even know where to get it in Hattiesburg. I know there's a new
pho place.
There's a new pho place that's...
I feel like we should probably wrap this up because Brad is going to listen to every second and try to figure out how to make all of it fit.
All right.
You know he'll try to find out how to make every second fit.
I think it all flowed. It was perfect. I think it was perfect.
And leave it as is, Brad.
And it's Chris. Yeah.
Don't even touch it.
So yeah, that was Josh Casper. Brad, since you weren't a part of the conversation that James and I think both truly enjoyed sitting in my little guest bedroom chatting with old Josh. I mean, what do you think? How jealous were you that you weren't in Hattiesburg hanging out with us that night?
Well, I'll tell you one of the first things that's going to happen when I actually do get to visit y'all in Hattiesburg in a few weeks is I want to go to the Depot. I want to meet Josh, and I want to, you know, actually say hi to this guy who I feel like I know, but I've never met and or directly talked to other than on Facebook. So that's one. Two, Josh said some things that I identified with. When y'all started talking about the spiritual aspect of your conversation, first of all, I enjoyed hearing about him changing from, you know, the old place to the new place. That was really interesting to hear how he was really unsure about what he was doing, but yet he was still going after it. That was really cool. If I'm not mistaken, I think I went to the old place at least once, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to seeing the new one. But the thing that really stood out to me was when he got to talking about how he doesn't go to church, he doesn't understand kind of where the church seems to be at this particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get it.
Even though you're going through almost something kind of similar to
almost something
that
similar,
right now.
Even though, like, yeah, even though I've always been in church, like, other than a couple of years when I lived in California, like, I don't really know myself outside of that aspect. But what's interesting is that I understand where he's coming from when you're kind of like, you guys need to get your crap together because it just doesn't make sense. And I understand, like, when you start looking at the last election, I mean, that's where I am. When I start looking at the last election and how not just the fact that a large portion of the church community voted for the current president, but the amount, the number of people, like, it was such a high number that I could not, like, in my head reconcile that. And I still, in a lot of ways, can't. And that's a very confusing thing.
I think one of the things that I find interesting about that in particular is there was a recent article that came out. I forgot who did the polling, but they were looking at basically polled Christians to find out what percentage of them prefer to go to a church where people hold the same political views, or they assume that people hold the same political views as them. And the percentage was, I think it was roughly around a little over 60%, probably 65%. But then they, like, dug down into that data and found that it was actually, shockingly, the younger generation, 18 to probably 35 or 32, something like that, that preferred that at a very intense percentage. And that was actually the older generation that had a smaller percentage of wanting to be in a church where people held similar political beliefs. And I was like, holy smokes, that's
I wonder how accurate that is in practice.
Well, I think it was, so with that specific study, I think it was self-report. And it was anonymous, so I would assume fairly accurate, at least with that study in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I think people were necessarily lying on purpose to try to make themselves feel better. It's more of a, I feel like there's a lot of people, you know, myself included, I'm sure, in plenty of areas, who feel like, yeah, this is the way I want to be, and so I would say, yes, I want this, but do they go to churches where there's people of differing beliefs or whatever? Like, do they actually practice that? Or right. Is it mentally like,
gotcha.
Yeah, ideally, yeah, I'd like that. I just wonder how much that ends up happening.
That's a good thought. That's a good thought. I guess going back to what, Brad, like what you were referencing, I realized it was kind of shocking for me was that a lot of people who identify as Christian very seriously take pro-life issues. And that's something that I'm not as stringent on per se. I'm not like far, far right with that stance, although I'm definitely not left on that stance. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. But I thought that maybe, I thought more people were maybe closer to somewhere in the middle with that, and that would allow them to jump party lines depending on who the candidate is from a political standpoint. And I think that maybe that's not the case. Like, it's,
you didn't realize that was a hill to die on for so many people.
Yeah, I think it's much, much harder for folks, and James, exactly what you're referencing, even if they talk a certain talk or they think like, hey, I can vote for this person because I believe in this, this, and this, at the heart of, when you get to the polling booth, maybe that is one of the things that's extremely hard for some Christians to ignore.
I mean, it's frustrating because I feel like the fact that abortion is a topic means we get to ignore everything else that should be topics. Right. That's what it ends up coming down to.
Yeah. So to our listeners, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you think. We want to hear where you're at with this. We want to hear what you have to say about this particular episode, this particular topic. We'd love to hear from you on ideas about topics. We mentioned during talking to Josh, you know, our website, which is everythingisokay.net. Make sure you go check him out at southernbelly.org. He's a really, really good writer as well as a really, really good chef. So go support him. If you're in the Hattiesburg area, go to the Depot, have a sandwich. It looks delicious. I haven't actually had one yet, but I cannot wait to try one. And just join us for our next conversation, whatever that may be.
Yo, we're on Facebook and Twitter, so go to everythingisokay.net, like Brad said, but follow us at those two places. Like, we want to interact with you. That's where we do our updates. We don't update the website that often, but we will absolutely interact with folks on both of those platforms, so check that out. And then Josh's website is going to be in the show notes. And so go ahead and check that out. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast, you should see a link that you can click on. And then also, every dollar counts when it comes to support for what we're doing here. So check us out at patreon.com/everythingisokay. And if you like what we're doing and want to be a part of it, please, please consider donating.
So with that, we'll go ahead and end this episode. I'm Brad Stair.
I'm David Mex.
I'm James Eisenhower. And on behalf of Josh, the naked swan, featherless swan, Casper.
Everything is okay, people.